That's the one we lots of times use here at church. So grab your Bible, whatever the translation or paraphrase, and follow along. John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Someone said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" There was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus the Christ, to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone has opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In today's gospel, we read of a man born in darkness, born blind. For him, it is this story, it has a happy ending. He receives his sight. Indeed, he comes to see not only physically, but spiritually. For him, this is an awesome and exciting journey to saving faith. Early on in the story, he refers to Jesus as a man. And then he refers to him as a prophet. And then as the story progresses and his faith progresses, he calls him a man from God. And then finally, he sees. He sees Jesus as God, and he worships him. It is the story of saving faith. It is the story of Jesus, the light of the world. But for others, the Pharisees, this is a tragic story, filled with a terrible irony. For you see, the Pharisees, they claim to be able to see clearly, physically, intellectually, spiritually, but they are the ones who are truly blind. And far worse, they have come to love their blindness. You can see it in their desperate arguments, how they try to silence the truth. And when they can't silence the truth, they throw the man out. We see how increasingly they wrap themselves all the more tightly into that darkness of their pride and their unbelief and their arrogance. Increasingly, they just continue to harden their hearts. So in their darkness, they shall remain. Like the man born blind, the Pharisees also most certainly are making a journey of faith, but their journey is in the exact opposite direction. Theirs is a journey into judgment. Finally, at the end of the story, the Pharisees who have been sitting in judgment of both Jesus and the man born blind who now sees, the Pharisees themselves, they now find themselves under judgment, being condemned by Christ himself. I want to paraphrase the closing lines so you catch what's going on. Then Jesus said, "I have come into the world to give sight to those spiritually blind and to show those who think that they see that they are blind." The Pharisees who were standing there asked, "Are you saying that we're blind?" Jesus responds, "If you were aware of your spiritual blindness, then you would confess your sin. And then you would not be guilty. But you do not see your blindness. You do not confess your sin. So you are not forgiven. Your guilt remains because you claim to know what is right, when in reality, You just keep closing your eyes. The scriptures tell us that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And yet, the other side of this story is that Jesus is the light. Therefore, Jesus says in John, the third chapter, verse 19, John 3:19, "This is the judgment," says Jesus, "that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Close quote. Maybe you know people who run from the light, who don't want to deal with the truth. Have you in your life ever found yourself running from the light, running from the truth? I think we've seen a lot of that in our society, especially in these last 2 weeks. Just for example, people claiming foolishly and selfishly that social distancing doesn't apply to them. Witnessing beaches in Florida filled with people who think that they're invulnerable. But this is not just some sort of a pandemic issue. Oh, no. This has always been our human nature. Oh, we just naturally justify ourselves. We justify our behaviors foolishly. We so often choose darkness instead of light. We foolishly choose bondage to our own sins instead of embracing forgiveness. And when we do so in a very real sense, we are passing judgment on ourselves. When a person comes in contact with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is light itself, if they see nothing in Jesus to desire, if their heart only becomes harder, then that person, by their reaction, they are condemning themselves. But if in meeting Jesus, you see something that causes you to wonder, you experience a love that draws you, a light that warms you, a peace that your heart yearns for, truth that you sense will be that which will set you free, then you are already on the way. You're on the way to knowing Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The person who can see their sin can now confess it. The person who confesses their sin can be forgiven and know that joy of being forgiven and becoming a new person in Christ Jesus. This is the season of Lent. Lent, we must remember, means springtime. This is the springtime of the soul. And therefore, in this special season, this is God's invitation to you and to me to draw nearer to him, to hear his voice, his living word for each and every one of our lives. And as we hear God's word, to confess our sin and to be forgiven and to know that joy of new beginnings, to know the joy of a new beginning in Jesus. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the hard scales fall from our eyes, that we might see and believe, see and repent, see and be born again. Especially in these days, open our eyes to see where we each might be better instruments of your love and care and compassion. As families live together in much closer proximity, give us your grace and love for our relationships. May we give your gifts of patience and understanding to one another. Break open our hard hearts. Fill our homes with your forgiving and gentle spirit. Help each of us to be better listeners. Bless us as we pray together at our dinner tables and in our family daily devotions. And if we've never done this before, Oh, Lord, may we seize this wonderful opportunity to begin something new and beautiful in our lives together. May we pray for one another in our families. May we share God's word together in our families, and may we worship together. And may we give a phone call to those who are single or alone to encourage, to bless them. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are our great good shepherd. You are the one who has promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. You are with each one of us, even now, as we pray together. May we always remember that we are your Easter people, and may we daily claim your life-giving promises, the promises of your love and your blessings for each of our lives. In the mighty and gracious and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's join together now.